Good morning to all of you. I appreciate the weather has had a bit of an impact. In fact, you might have known this meeting, the service might have had a bit of an impact. Anyway, welcome. Thank you for coming out on such a day like this. And a very warm welcome, obviously, those who are here this morning in front of me, behind me, those who are watching us on Zoom, and those who are listening to the recording at a later date. Following the deaths of both his grandmother and his godmother, Amos has been granted compassionate leave by the Church of Scotland and is presently in Cameroon for the funerals, hence the reason somebody else is taking the service this week, as we had with Alex Uttleworth last week. Today marks a special day in the church calendar. It's called Christ the King Sunday. More about that later. The intimations are all as per the order of service. There are quite a lot. And please do take them away, have a good read of them, and act as appropriately on them. We have one extra intimation. Alison would like to come up and say a few words.
Thank you for the opportunity to mention it. You may have missed it as it flashed by, but there's a National Day of Prayer next Saturday from the Church of Scotland, and we are opening our prayer room from 9 till 12 on Saturday morning, and all are welcome to drop in. The idea is that we just come to just pray about our church, about the future, about anything on our hearts at all, but that we as Church of Scotland people come together to pray. Please don't be hesitant about coming. There'll be two members of the prayer group around welcoming you. But don't worry about coming into a prayer space. It's a space where you can be free to pray as you are led, or you can be as silent for as little or as long as you want. So please consider just dropping in, even for 5 minutes, and sending up prayers for things that are on your heart. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alison. Today we celebrate the only ruler to whom we can give undivided loyalty, Jesus of Nazareth, Christ the King. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited and redeemed our people and lifted up the trumpet of salvation, that being liberated, we might serve God without fear, with holiness and justice all the days of our life. If you're able, please stand and join as we sing together our first hymn, hymn 129, The Lord is King. Lift up your voice.
Thank you.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of our every year and of this day, on this Sunday of Christ the King, we recognise your right to our devotion and dedication, not just in one day of the year, but in every moment of the weeks and the months of our years. You are the very source of life, with whom and in whom we live and move and have our being. And you are the undemanding life, asking nothing for the free gift of breath and being, of life and health, of meaning and purpose, of all that makes life not only bearable, but good. We recognise too that we are prone to take the goodness and turn it into a sore, a rottenness at our core. And so we turn to the golden encircling of your love and the gems of your giving and graciousness, the crown of all life. We turn with a recognition of those times when we have not yet served your kingdom fully, but our agenda is what we've served in this world. We turn with our understanding of those ways that we know are anchored in our hearts, like weeds that strangle our good intentions. We turn with our aspirations for a world of love, which we cannot bring about without you. God, who is with us, let your spirit of life stir us, challenge us, regenerate us, so that we may be that new creation within creation, for the sake of creation, goodness, and love. Now let us all pray together as our Saviour has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. You may obviously have spotted the theme with our hymns this morning. And our next one is one for the younger people. Junior praise number 34, Come and Praise the Lord our King.
Thank you.
now's the time for any young ones to come on forward. Come on, have a seat. Right, down you come. Now, I'm looking for a volunteer. And as always, I'm not going to say what you're doing until I get the volunteer. But it doesn't involve you doing too much, just being yourself and being there. Who wants to help? Yeah, that's not a scratch, Lucas, that is a yes. Come on, help me come. No? God, Jacob. Anybody? Right, okay, we will just talk to begin with. When we talk about a king, what do you think about? What would a king have? Go on, Jacob. Money, yes. And what else might he have that shows he's a king? Would he wear anything? A cloak, yes. Okay. A crown. Where might he live? In a palace? Yeah. Or a castle? Perfect. Okay, well, that was sort of what the volunteer was for, but we're too late now. So, that's a king. Now, a king is somebody like our country where we have kings. We've always had kings or queens. Some countries don't have them, and they have what's called a president, which is somebody that the people in the country, that's the person they want to be in charge for the next few years. Now, there is a difference, and we'll see just shortly. There's a picture going to appear, hopefully, up on the screen. There now. Who is that? Come on in.
Simba.
That is Simba, correct. Who is Simba? Where does Simba? Where do you know Simba from?
The Lion King.
The Lion King, perfect. Right, Lion King, for those who don't know, is a Disney film from a few years ago, not too long ago.
Daniel's
your cousin. Well, thank you, Daniel, for that. And thank you for telling. Simba is in the film called The Lion King. Now, Simba was, at that age, just a baby lion. But Simba's dad was the king of the pride, the lions, in that part of the world. And Simba, being the son of the king, was going to be king next because it was always somebody in the family who was born to be king. And one of the songs in the film that Simba sings is, "I just can't wait to be king." Because for some reason that I don't understand, Simba didn't like being told what to do by adults. Nah, I'm not going to tell any faces that are here. And he just wanted to be king so he could then tell everybody else what to do. Get this big moment. He's going to be in charge. He's going to tell them what to do. And that was him. But a real king isn't somebody that goes out and tells others what to do. Isn't the one who's being served by servants and others. He's somebody who looks after the country, after the people. And we have a king, as we've been singing about just now. We have a King Jesus, who's king for all of us. Not somebody who's appointed there. And we're going to have had somebody appointed here as king, but not a real king. Jesus is a real king because his Father is king. God is king. And Jesus is following on what God had done and what he's going to do for him. So, if we look on him as a king and take him as our king and look up to him as our king, he will be a real king. He will look after us all now and always. So let's just have a quick short prayer. God, we thank you for sending Jesus to us. We thank you for him being king, king and Lord of all, and being there for all of us, looking after us in all that we do, helping us not to be the ones in charge, but to help others, just as Jesus did. Amen. Now, another hymn is from Junior Praise number 160, Majesty. Worship his Majesty. Another one for King.
Yeah. The Old Testament reading this morning is found in Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 1 to 6. Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called: the Lord, our righteousness. The New Testament reading can be found in the epistle, the letter of Paul to the Colossians. And you can find that on 1182 of the Pew Bibles or on the overhead. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now we'll sing hymn 100. O Lord, thou art my God and King. Hymn 100.
Thank you.
Just before the sermon proper, can I just take a brief moment to show a picture of a map to you, just to put something slightly into context. A map of Southeast Asia. We have the Holy Land over on the right with Cyprus. We have Crete, we have Rhodes. And there, in the bottom of current Turkey is all this area up here, and Greece over the side. Right within the black is the town of Colossae, where the Colossians stayed, that Paul wrote to. The red line is Paul's third missionary journey, and as you can see, Colossae sits in the middle of a nice route right through the mountains there, and that's the people that he wrote this specific message to, and the sermon today will focus on that part that Nancy read to us from that letter. As I touched on earlier, this week marks the end of the current Christian year. In the church calendar, today is called, as I said, Christ the King Sunday. Sunday ushers in Advent, the new year of the church calendar. Let's look on it that way. We revel today in the unusual life of Christ. Jesus is a one-off, a bizarre kind of royalty. There is no other king in history like this one whom we love and praise with all our heart and mind and voice. Our King Jesus is definitely not in the mould of other kings, emperors, governors, and, dare I say, presidents. Today we turn the common idea of king inside out, just like a T-shirt with a flamboyant print on it that you turn inside out to hide it as best you can. We must turn it inside out if we're to express anything of the truth that belongs to Jesus, our King. Let's begin with the characteristics of the kings of history. As we heard from the younger ones, some of these will be only too familiar. Historically, king meant absolute power over subjects, arbitrary authority over life and death. The right, when the monarch was in a foul mood and no doubt reaching for another glass of the choicest wine, the right to shout, "Take him out and behead him." More words to that effect. Historically, kingship included bodyguards and armies. There was a ruthless enforcement of royal decrees. If a king decided to pick a fight with a neighbouring kingdom, it meant the young men were forcibly rounded up and sent off to risk dying a slow and bloody death in battle for the sake of the king's honour. It meant violent suppression of dissent. Any view at odds with the king's was rooted out. Spies and enforcers, midnight raids, torture chambers and dungeons were all part of the day. King implied palaces and luxury apartments. It meant gold-threaded robes, shining crowns studded with precious stones, and an oversupply of sumptuous meals that were, as the saying goes, fit for a king. King suggested court jesters, comedians who constantly created new stunts to divert his majesty, minstrels singing exaggerated praises in ballads, and composers being expected to produce a new orchestral work every week. It meant gilded throne rooms. Yes, an august throne with ambassadors bowing low and employing fluent flattery, courtiers trying to get as close as they dared. King meant sheer dominance, absolute power, extravagance, lofty arrogance, and grandiose displays of pomp and circumstance to impress the populace and keep them under the royal foot. But as we know, power with self-glory is not Christ's thing. Christ our King has nothing in common with such a king. I repeat, nothing in common. Let's ditch any thought associated with pomp and power. There's no swagger in Jesus, no imperial manners. Christ is not the man with his finger on the button of military violence. He's not the autocratic kind of king. Never was, never is, and never will be. Sending conscripts off to die is not his thing, nor are bullying and overpowering, wealth and palaces, forcing obedience to law by armies and guns, having people bow and bribe him for favours, flamboyant pomp and circumstance, gilded thrones and jewelled crowns, yelling, "Off with his head," is certainly not Christ's thing. Jesus completely transforms the concept of kingship. In Nancy's reading from the letter to the Colossians, we heard an extended passage which glorified Christ. Glorifying our King Jesus doesn't get much better than this, whether in the rest of the New Testament or the ennobling hymns of 2,000 years of Christianity. And that is extraordinary praise. What's more, it's spontaneous praise, coming straight from the overflowing hearts. It stems from love, not obedience, from joy, not fear. This is not a flattering oration from Paul, not like those praises given by fearful subjects to dictators, kings and emperors, nor like the hollow diplomatic praises spoken to visiting heads of state by prime ministers and presidents who are intent on cementing a new trade deal or military alliance or peace deal. The praise of the New Testament is full-on sincerity. This is the real thing. In Colossians, as in Ephesians and Philippians, we have an outpouring of love, praise from a writer who had suffered hardship, pain and persecution for his unique king. It didn't look back with regret on one moment of it. At the heart is the crucified Christ, his body broken, his blood poured out in love for the world, the costly reconciliation of all things, humanity reconciled with God by God's love, person reconciled with person through the saving grace of Christ Jesus. This is not a strutting earthly king. Here in Colossians is a crucified man wearing a crown of thorns, the wounded healer, the bloodied reconciler, the one who lays down his life for others. This is Jesus, our King, the one who turns all other ideas of kingship inside out. Here is a humble son of Mary, the apprentice of his early father, Joseph the carpenter, a village man who became an itinerant preacher and healer, the fellow who listened to women with an unusual respect in what was a man's world, a misunderstood man who spent nights out on the hills. Here's a young physician actually touching the untouchable lepers, a blesser of grubby street children, not the same thing as kissing well-washed babies before an election, the saviour trusted by prostitutes and tax collectors, friend of foreigners and fishermen, a servant washing the feet of guests, the wanted man slipping through city streets by night, a soul in agony praying in an olive grove, a young rabbi betrayed by a disciple, prisoner in a kangaroo court abused by the police guards, condemned man mocked, flogged, and spat upon, a victim carrying his own cross to the place of the skull, the crucified man speaking forgiveness on his foes, a corpse hastily buried in a borrowed tomb, the stranger walking with men on the road to Emmaus, a host with wounded hands cooking a fish breakfast for his fisherman mates on the shores of Galilee. The frequent Bible image of the shepherd king was not just a reference to the previous employment of Israel's most famous king, David. More importantly, it was an attempt by God to shape the expectations of how a king should govern God's people. It was an attempt to counter the more dominant images of the warrior king who ruled with a drawn sword, or the judge king who imposed laws on the people and policed them rigorously. The ruler of God's people was to care for the people like a shepherd caring for a flock, guiding them to restful green pastures and leading them beside still waters, just as God does. At his crucifixion, Jesus is finally openly called the King. but only to take the mickey out of him. It is outright mockery. Here comes the royal cupbearer, but it's an enemy soldier offering him sour wine. Here's the royal placard proclaiming him to be king to all the world, but it's a criminal charge hung over his thorn-crowned head. And here are his armed forces, but they're Roman soldiers jeering at him. King of the Jews? If you're king of the Jews, save yourself. But in Colossians, Paul tells us that Jesus is the exact image of the invisible God, and that in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is not one half of a good cop, bad cop kind of God. He is the exact image of God, of all of God. So if you've put your trust in Jesus and you want to know about God, don't start with anything like an Old Testament word search and study of the names of God. Start with Jesus every time. Immerse yourself in the stories of Jesus. Ask Jesus to make himself known to you as you prayerfully read the gospel stories of him. Prayerfully imagine yourself into those stories and see who the Jesus is that you encounter there. Listen to others as they share their perceptions and encounters with Jesus. We have no other king than this one, this same Jesus, the Saviour and Lord, who lords it over no one. Always central is his cross, reconciling love and the promise of universal peace. Worship this new type of king, this Jesus, and trust him. Don't just pay lip service, but fully trust him and his example. Commit your ways to him, and you shall know his peace, such as this crass old world cannot give. It's hard to imagine a more elegantly condensed account of who Jesus Christ is and what has been achieved in and by Christ, beginning with the plea that the church in Colossae should grow in strength, a plea that may well be our one for the church today. If we are to grow in strength, however, we do so in the context of Christ's primacy. Christ is the one in whom we have strength and refuge. Upon Christ, this Christ of Colossians chapter 1, we are utterly dependent. It's all about Jesus every time. And in the end, whether you want to call Jesus your shepherd, your Lord and Saviour, your inspiration, or your King, what it all comes down to is Jesus. Jesus, the image of the invisible God. Follow him as your shepherd. Obey him as your king. If it is really him, there's no difference in those, which one you choose. Over the next 4 weeks, during the season of Advent, let us not only celebrate the new year for the church, but also prepare to celebrate anew that marvelous event in a lowly stable all those years ago. Amen. Having chosen our next hymn, please don't think I've suddenly moved forward a month. The lectionary, which gives recommended readings for each Sunday, had two possible New Testament gospel readings. One was the crucifixion from Luke, where he had the prisoners on either side and spoke with them. The other one was to do with his birth. This hymn is one I'm sure we will sing over the next few weeks. The words are as appropriate today as they are in the weeks to come. Hymn 320, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come.
Thank you.
Let us come together now in our prayer to dedicate the offering, and our prayers of intercession to pray for others. Let us pray. Lord, with our offerings, we pay homage to the gift of your love, for it is beyond the value of anything else that life can offer us. Take these gifts to your heart and then send it into your world for your purpose of delivering freedom and peace among your kingdom. In our prayers for others, we commit those we pray for into the hands of one who knows the frailties and troubles of human life. On this Christ the King Sunday, we remember that Christ's kingship does not shy away from the agonies of the cross, the vulnerability of the incarnation, the risk and betrayal of human relationships in times of danger and threat. And so we pray with compassion for those who hurt and fear and cry today because they've been let down by systems or circumstances or the ones they love. We remember those whose lives are most affected by climate change, who face hunger, thirst, fire, or flood in the heart of their homes. Grant wisdom and conviction to those who hold the power to make a difference on global, national, and individual levels. Let your children of every age and every class and every race and every creed know that freedom for which they were created in your image and for which you endured death on the cross that became your throne, before which we now bow and in your presence declare to you. We pray with love for those who are lonely or in pain, and for those who care for family and friends in time of need. We acknowledge the stress of being a carer and the sometimes conflicting feelings of those who are cared for. Bring comfort and encouragement, dear Lord, to situations of conflict and rest for those who bear the heaviest burdens. We pray with faith for those we love the most and for those who have no one to name them before you. May your presence surround and bless them today and always. May they know they are loved and known and seen by you. For those who grieve the loss of one they loved, we pray especially that you will encourage them with strong memories and a confidence in your loving purpose, which holds all souls in life. We pray in particular for our minister Amos, who's currently in Cameroon, following the deaths of his grandmother and of his godmother, with the funerals having taken place in the last few days. May we all take comfort from your words on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. We give you thanks for the witness of those who knew and followed you as the Lord their King, and who showed us what it means to be a Christian. May they know of our grateful love for them, now and always. Amen. Our hymn to close this service this morning, hymn 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Go now, joyfully giving thanks to the one true King. Prepare a pathway for the Lord. Endure everything with patience and teach people of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And may God gather us into safety. May Christ Jesus strengthen us with glorious power. And may the Holy Spirit guide our feet on the way of peace. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and King.